So we're going to talk about advertising now. And this is where you're actually putting money towards something that you are sending out to the community. So all the things that we just talked about, you can do all of that for free. Of course, we talked about the subscriptions there at the end, but you can do all of those things for free. And so here are just my recommendations as far as the advertising. This is where you are paying a social media platform to send out your information to people. And so this is a billboard, as it were. So as I want to give my first tip is avoid boosting at all costs. So my first tip is just this. If the first word that you think of when you think about Facebook advertising is boosting, strike it from the record. Because boosting used to be a very good way of doing advertising. And it could have good results. But Facebook is trying to kill it. And so in which case, and by the way, primarily I'm going to be talking about Facebook advertising, but the principles of what we're talking about are going to be working for other social platforms as well, but this is very Facebook specific. Boosting has become such that it's not going to feed into the people that you want it to feed into, and it is going to cost you an arm and a leg more than doing the way I'm going to show you how to do it. Okay. So first, that's my first recommendation. Do not use boosting. It's very limiting on what you can do, and it likely will be phased out anyway by Facebook, so you won't be able to use it here in the next couple of years anyway. So, but let's go through a walkthrough. So I'm going to switch over here. All right, it's still coming up there. So let me pause this. All right. Let me restore. All right, so this is called Facebook Ads Manager. The way you get here is adsmanager.facebook.com/adsmanager. Okay? So we do advertising for Springfield Christians, for Dad and the congregation there. So this is where it is that we run that. So I'm just going to give you a walkthrough so that I can show you so that you don't have to pay me. So here is how all of this functions. Right here is called campaigns. Campaign is telling the ad what it is that you want it to do. This is the goal of the ad itself. So we'll talk about the goals of what the possibilities are here in just a moment. This is the ad set section. Ad set is you telling Facebook or Meta, because this is Facebook and Instagram that it feeds out to. This is you telling Facebook and Instagram who you want your ad to go to. And you can get pretty detailed there. That's kind of phasing out as well because the Facebook algorithm is getting so good that they don't really need you anymore in a way. but you can be targeted. You can say, I want this specific region in a 10-mile radius, let's say, from the Owosso Church of Christ, or from the Stone Canyon Church of Christ location, 10 miles out from there. That's who I want to target. And maybe it's for a series on family life. And so I want to target specifically people that are from the ages of 55 and under so that we get more of those families, full families, let's say. Maybe it's that I'm advertising something that is female specific. I can do that as well. So I'm thinking about who is my audience, and I'm targeting those people in particular inside of the ad set level. And then the ads is where the creative stuff happens. So this is what the ad says, the image or video that you use for that, or maybe even the carousel that you use, though that's more Instagram specific. But this is where what they see happens. So what the people see happens in the ad level. Okay? So we're just going to kind of walk through an ad. Let me push this button first. This is the create button. I just want you to see these are the type of campaigns that you can run. An awareness, traffic, engagement, leads, ad promotion, and sales. obviously, sales isn't going to be really where we're going to land. Also, awareness is not going to be where we land. This is for huge companies like Coca-Cola. They're the ones that are going to be using this awareness type of campaign. Don't use that. You're wasting your money because it costs a lot of money. All right? Then you have the, let's see if there's any app promotions. None of you guys have any apps. And if you're even thinking about it, don't. So app promotions, that is something that we're not going to be using. We're going to be using one of these three: traffic, engagement, and leads. Traffic is, how it describes it here, is this is where you are sending people to a destination, like your website or an app or Instagram profile or a Facebook event. Though, let me put this to the side for just a moment. In my experience, events don't really produce any visitors at all. So I would recommend not doing events at all on advertising. It just doesn't seem to work for me for churches. But you can do traffic, sending them to somewhere in particular. You can do an engagement where you have a post that you want to get people to talk on that post in particular. And you're trying to get as many comments, likes, shares as you possibly can. That's another thing that you can do. And then leads. Leads is where you are actually getting people to sign up with their name, email, and phone number. You are getting them to sign up for something like a Bible study or something like that you are getting them to plan their visit to your congregation in particular. There are different things that you could try.
So if I just post a meme and I go with engagement, how does Facebook know, or how does Facebook get those people to engage where if I'd gone with traffic, they would not engage? You understand my question?
The Facebook algorithm knows who is more prone to comment on things than others.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. So you're going to want someone that responds. If it is someone that, like I was saying before, is being a troll, that they're typically the people that are all caps on your comments, like they're yelling at you, I'm just going to block them right from the get-go. I'm not even going to deal with them because they're there for an agenda. And you'll know really quickly who's there for an agenda and who's there for a discussion. Yeah, when you block someone, it deletes their comments too. So. Did you have something?
I mean, I guess so. The deleting a comment, would that not lessen your chance of getting, like, from monetization standpoint, the more comments you have, the more letters if you're deleting the comment.
Yeah, and so you don't want to be trigger happy on the blocking.
You're talking about deleting posts that have, or comments that have, like, bad language.
Of course, bad language, anything inappropriate. But I'm talking about even the ones that they have an axe to grind and they're trying to stir things up. They're a troll. They're a troll. And I'm not gonna engage with them. Did something? Okay, we're gonna move on. But yes, things like that can happen. Now I'm gonna go ahead and pull into here. This is a lead generation ad that we're running for Springfield here, and I'm just going to show you what that looks like. Here we go. So inside, I title it lead gen, and you can here actually change the budget inside of the campaign level. I'm going to recommend that you change it inside of the ad set level instead of the campaign level. It gets expensive sometimes if you do it at the campaign level because it's feeding it into so many things and it spreads it out too thin, or it goes all in on something. And so I recommend the ad set level. So, for instance, this is one that we just started. When we're talking about messaging, so the algorithm takes into effect, or they take into account what it is that you wrote inside the ad. And it helps to target people that would identify with those type of terminologies. So it's actually a good idea to, for instance, we're running for a financial organization in Huntsville, Alabama. And so whenever I'm running that ad, I say, because they're a financial investment organization. And so I say, Huntsville Millionaires. And I say that at the very top of the ad because they're wanting the millionaires to be able to invest in their particular company. And so in which case, I'm just going to call them right out and say, Huntsville Millionaires. Now, I'm not doing that with my ads here. But what I am doing is for the church, I will say something instead that is much more direct. The more direct you are, the better as far as targeting is concerned. So I'm going to say something like, are you saved? I'm going to be that direct with my questions here. Because if you're not direct, you miss nearly everybody. If you are not direct, you miss nearly everybody. But if you are direct with what you are saying, then the people that identify with that are going to be the ones that say, are you saved? No, and I want to be. You're getting those people that are seeking. Or asking a question like, you have to be careful with your messaging, and we'll talk about this here in a moment, but you might say something like, are you tired of what the mega churches are offering? Just call it out. If that is what their concern is in your particular area, they're tired of what the mega churches are offering. Are you tired of what the mega churches are offering? Are you looking for a congregation of God's people with simple worship? Call them out. And those people are going to read that and they're going to be like, yeah, that is me. Let me try them out. So this ad in particular, I know this is not what you're talking about, but this ad in particular, how many leads have you gotten this week? Nine leads just off of this, of people that say that I basically saying I'm not saved, but I want to learn how. Two studies set up for next week, just this week, running this ad. And we're running on budgets around 500 a month. Yeah. So that's the ad level. I kind of jumped ahead to the ad level. Yes.
Is that 500 a month just for that?
Let's talk about budget here in just a moment, though. So this is where you're going to put your image or your video. This is where you're going to put the text that they see at the very top. Are you saved? If not, we truly care and want to help. We offer personal instruction from the Bible to show how to get right with God. If you're ready to make a change, click the link. And people click the link. They're telling you they're ready to make a change. All right, so let's scroll down just a little bit here so you can see. This is your call to action button. So your call to action button is important because that is where they're going to click so that they will fill out a lead form that they get their name, you get their name, email, and phone number. This is where that ad form is going to be. It's going to make me duplicate something, but I'll just go ahead and say create form. You're going to make a choice between whether you want it to be more volume, higher intent, or rich creative of what it is that you want here. Do you want just a lot of leads? Or do you want more of those higher quality leads of people that are more willing to actually convert? Now, in the marketing world, convert obviously means something different. That's getting a sale in their minds. So people that are actually more willing to do those sort of things. So these are type of decisions that you're going to make. You're going to ask questions in here. Questions like, let's see what we did here. Dad, do you remember, I don't really want to duplicate it, but I guess we'll have to. Yes, so,
how would you describe your relationship with God?
Yes, exactly. And so we give them some options. How would you describe your Bible knowledge? I have no Bible knowledge, little, average, or advanced. And that gives Dad an idea of who he's dealing with here. If he's dealing with someone that feels like they're more advanced, he might use a different tactic of how he's going to deal with them than the person that doesn't know anything. Where Dad's going to start with that, I don't have my Bible up here, but he's going to start with, do you know what the word Bible means? Versus someone that feels like they're more advanced, he might jump straight to a discussion on Jesus being God in lesson one of the SFTs. I don't know what exactly we would decide to do there, but it gives Dad a better idea of what's going on with this particular person. And then they give their name, email, name, phone number, and email. Anytime that you get someone's name, email, and phone number, they are telling you, I trust you with this information. So that tells you that this is getting closer to that good soil that we were talking about a couple sessions ago. You're getting closer to that good soil of someone that really wants to make a change. All right? So that's the lead form. Let's go ahead and close out of this.
Does that go to anybody else, or is that used to take them somewhere else? Take that information somewhere else?
The contact information?
Mm-hmm.
We are the only ones that receive that contact information. And it says that very clearly. It says we will only use this, and here's our privacy policy. The ad set level, again, is who you want this to go to. So for us, we're mostly looking at that we want this to go to, we're looking here, people within a 10-mile radius of 1939 South Pass Field, Springfield, Illinois. That is the radius that we want to go. And for this ad in particular, we don't have any other demographics that we're trying to go after. But you can actually go in here and you can say particular interests. So for that financial company that I work for, they're in the Huntsville, Alabama area, and they know that the most wealthy people are the ones that are engineers in the area. So we're targeting people that are interested in engineering on that particular ad. So you can do that, but for our purposes, it may not always be what you're really after anyway. It's the messaging that's going to target people more than it is that inside the ad set particularly. Ad set just tells that I want it to be inside of this particular area. That's what you need. That's how I do what I do. Any questions on any of that? Besides budget, we'll get to that in a second. Anything else on that?
How does go then from ad to lead to setting the Bible study? Primarily between the lead or leads you get to setting that up.
Good question.
Facebook request for message. Go ahead.
Yep. We're going to get to that toward the end of this one. So good question, though. Anything else? Okay. So that's just a walkthrough of what it is that we do.
And so now that ad is going to end up, what you just did, the ad is going to go onto Facebook.
Yes.
And it's going to go to a certain number of people depending on how much you pay.
Yes. Generally speaking, in my experience, $15 gets you out to 1,000 people. In a local area.
How much did you say?
$15 gets you 1,000 people that eyeballs. So.
All right, so that's good to know about my business.
We'll talk later.
If I have to knock on 100 doors to get one sale, well, 1,000 people seeing, and the same can be true. You know.
Doesn't translate. Don't jump
too far in. Yeah. Yeah, so there are differences. So Stephen's right about that. Then I'm going to use Canva for the images. Canva works really well for simplicity's sake. That I'm going to use my branding, my messaging, and those same tips apply with when we're trying to choose the correct audience for who we're trying to advertise to. Again, I'll say this again, and I said this a moment ago, For ads, I do not recommend that you use AI for writing your copy. Copy is the text that goes above the ad. I do not recommend it for writing your copy or making your images because people can see right through that. That is where AI is not going to be able to steal these type of jobs. Creative type of jobs, people see right through it. And it's hard for ads or AI to be creative in a lot of ways. So that's my little tip there in particular. So I put that here on this next tip, but let's go ahead and talk about offer. Again, we're using marketing language. We're talking about the offer. What is usually said about an offer is the higher the cost of your product, the better your offer has to be. How do we translate that into our context in particular? Because we might say, well, the gospel is free. Well, in a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. But in another, we're asking more of them than anyone else on the market. Because we're asking from them an entire lifetime commitment. Now, it gets into that I make jokes with congregations sometimes that are talking to me about me running their ads. And I say, it's a little bit of a different discussion in some ways when we're talking about how much to spend on this and all. Because if I tell a roofing company, let's say, that you can spend this amount of money on me, let's say you spend $2,000 on the ads that I run, but if I get you two leads that sign on, and that means that you have now made at least $30,000. So my $2,000 is nothing. That's a little bit more difficult to make as a sale for churches because let me talk to you about if I get you two leads that come into a Bible study that turns into a lifetime commitment, think of the lifetime revenue that you're going to receive in contributions, right? We're not going to talk that way. We're not going to talk that way. But then on the other hand, we get back to what Dad said the other day. Are you going to put a price on someone's soul? Are you going to put a price on someone committing their entire existence to the Lord? And I don't mean that to say, waste your money on ads. That's not the point. But the point is, let's say we're looking at this, and let's say out of the, how many did you say? 9 leads this week. He got 2 studies. Let's say only one of those became a Christian. So I spent maybe $100 that week. But then you add on all the months before or weeks before that you didn't have a conversion. And so now we've spent somewhere like what? $500 to $1,000. $1,000 for one soul to obey the gospel. I'm willing to pay that.
If you're looking at it in financial, just real quickly, less that we're about to baptize, I hope, Lord willing, he is so worried about his son. He's trying to get his son to come to church. He's talking to his grandkids. You know, it's a trickle down. It's,
yeah.
You know, you're going to get contacts.
So as we're talking about an offer, this idea of the gospel being free is maybe a little bit of a misnomer of what we're trying to really get at with this discussion. So let's go back to PTC. If we're asking of people more than anyone else on the market, let's talk about PTC. What does PTC cost? Okay, travel. All right. So let's say that you are 8 hours away. You're talking 2 tankfuls on my van, all right? So in which case, you're talking somewhere like, we'll just say $100, just for easy math, all right? So it costs $100, all right? What else?
Some guys, it might cost a week to
salary. Okay, some guys, it may actually cost them a week of salary, a plane ticket. So there's maybe some things that are a little bit more, let's say a plane ticket. Do you mind me asking how much the plane ticket?
My plane ticket round trip is about 6.
Okay. So about 600, maybe a week of pay. I don't know. So I don't know how to write that down exactly, but maybe a week of pay.
It's a
all right.
Commitment.
What's that?
It's a time commitment.
A time commitment. We're spending time here. The cost of food while you're traveling. Exactly.
The cost of food over here.
You didn't pay for that though. What it costs you. What it costs you. Yeah. What it costs you. Yeah. All right. So now let's think about the offer. What is PTC offering?
Encouragement.
All right? Encouragement. Let's be more specific than encouragement. Let's be more specific. What's that?
Bible study.
Yes, more specific. All right, tools for sharing the word, all right? That's a little bit more specific there.
Making contact and building relationships with people you would have never met otherwise.
All right, so
edification.
Contacts. It's very difficult whenever the screen is bouncing too. Intensive. But let's be more specific. When we're talking about offer, we're being a little bit more specific here. How much intensive teaching? We're talking six gospel meetings worth of information that you're getting here. Six gospel meetings worth, all right? So let's go ahead and write that down. So we are at six gospel meetings, all right? That's how much value, if you will, that you're gaining from this. What else? Yes, your food, yes. Anyone else? Free room and board. Yes, room and board. All right.
No, both beds.
What's that?
Both sagging.
Yeah. So let's call that Q. What am I writing the word Q for? Okay. Outline ideas. All right. Okay. Room and board.
There were some free books.
All right. Now let's try to put a cost to it. All right. So if we're talking a gospel meeting, week-long gospel meeting, how much that cost?
$2,000.
I was going to say
$2,500.
Yeah, when you include all the traveling expenses and everything, you're talking about $2,500, right, for a gospel meeting. Now you multiply that by six. That's already a $15,000 value that you gain from PTC every year. That changes the idea, doesn't it? All right. Now you also include daily Q&A sessions, you know, personal time that you get to ask whatever question that you want, all right? Daily worship and devotion. We're not going to put a price on that, okay? But you have week-long and future mentorship, like was being said just a moment ago. Access to these men who have deep Bible knowledge, that you have access to them now, some of the best minds in the brotherhood. I don't mind saying that. Reinvigorated zeal for the work of a preacher. Can you put a price tag on that? And then private chefs. Now you can put a price tag on that. On the low end, you're talking for a week long, $3,000 per chef.
Where's my paycheck?
And all we ask of you is the travel and a week of your time.
And one more thing. Is when I send out emails and say, please just say, got it. It only takes 10 seconds.
That's all we ask. So there's three costs here. Your expenses for travel, your week of your time, and just write, got it.
It's $15,000.
But now we've made an offer. Come to PTC. Look at everything that you're gaining from this. And all we ask is a week of your time. That's an offer, if we're talking in the marketing terms. So now try to translate that in your mind to the church. They have a high price tag much higher than PTC. They have a much higher price tag that we're asking of them. We're asking them to devote their entire life to this. So let's start small. Will you have a Bible study with me? That's the offer. I'm offering you a Bible study. And the cost of that is 1 hour of your time. Just start small. Now, there's different ideas that we'll talk about here in a moment, but do you see how when you're talking about the messaging that you're giving with advertising, we need to start thinking in terms of what we're asking of them. Therefore, we need to let them know, here is what we are giving to you. And to them, it may sound like, and we want it to sound like, in a way, initially, we're not asking a lot of you. So that it gives them the ability to say, yes. We want to make the cost as less to them so that they give an immediate yes. I can do that.
Should you say an hour of your time in the place of your choosing?
Certainly, yes, yes. And that goes to messaging as well.
Yeah, because we don't want, we're not even asking them to provide a place. Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's talk about some ad suggestions here. So these are just some ads that I've run, prayer requests. This is where I ask the community, how can we pray for you? Now, I just want you to give us the trust, at least, that you will let me into your life a little bit so that I can know how I can pray for you. That is what I am offering to you. I'm offering to pray for you. All I need is to let you trust me just a little bit to let me in just that much. So prayer requests. Now, often, with the prayer request ad, we tend to just make it so that on the prayer request, we're really only trying to get people thinking about the congregation. We haven't really used this for studies, but there's a congregation that we're working with in Texas right now, and in the Dallas area, and they've actually been using these. They've been getting, I think they've gotten somewhere close to 4 or 5 Bible studies in the last 2 months, just off of the prayer request, which is not what it was designed for, but they kept those relationships going, and it led to Bible studies. So that's an excellent way that you can maybe even get Bible studies out of that. Lead generation. This is where you are pulling people in for what we were talking about, that questions like, how is your relationship with God, and how can we help you with that, getting Bible studies that way, or are you saved, which I showed you just a moment ago, and getting Bible studies out of that. I've also thought about online Bible studies where you will pre-record a class that you want them to hear. And maybe it's a 3-part class. So let's say, just for ease, that it is the story of the Bible. And we're going to start with the patriarchal age, we're going to move into the Mosaic, and then we're going to move into the Messianic age. And that part one is given to them for free. We're not asking anything of them. We just want to give you this Bible study. And they listen to that. Let's say it's 45 minutes long, so it only requires your time. And they listen to that Bible study, and then at the end, they say, do you want to hear part two? Will you give us your name, email, and phone number? Will you give us your contact information? So they give you your contact information that leads to the second video, where now you're talking about the Messianic age. And while you, excuse me, by doing this, you are building rapport and trust with them as a teacher of the Bible as well. And so I would recommend that whoever is going to be doing the Bible studies be the one that record the message. So then you're building rapport with them that you actually know what you're talking about when it comes to the Bible. But at the end of that video, it then says, and this is just an idea that I have, so if you got other ideas, that's fine. But at the end of that video, then it says, part three of this, we always do one-on-one. And so, where can we meet, what time, so that we can have this final Bible study together? And so now you've actually gotten to meet them, and you're building that trust with them in person. That's just an idea that I've been not able to convince anyone to try just yet, and I think that partially is just because of the time to record the Bible studies, but that's fine. I think Dad said that he's going to try it here soon, and I'm going to plan on just trying it myself here soon.
Well, I see a challenge with that. I've been in.
What type of what?
Length.
Length? 30 to 45? Yeah. And the reason for that is because if they're willing to get to that third study, that means they've already been willing to listen to an hour and a half. So they're serious about this. These are the people that are really your good contacts more than anyone else. Case study. All right, so some other ideas. You can take your highest performing posts and you can just advertise those. That's a possibility. I've seen some people try that. Google Ads, that's not what I do, but I do want to talk just a moment about the Google grant for nonprofits. If you are a 501c3, which you don't have to be for being a church, but if you are a 501c3, Google will let you apply for this grant that they will give you $10,000 a month to advertise. A month.
Say that again.
If you are a 501c3 on Google, you can apply for their grant that allows you to advertise $10,000 per month.
That's great, Greg.
Now, what kind of, how easy is it to get the grant?
Not that hard, actually.
That's great, but I just want to suggest, do your homework as to a 501c3.
Yeah. You do not have to get a 501c3 and be... Yes, do research, but this is a benefit. This is a benefit.
So as far as the research, my question is, are they going to be monitoring what it is that you're advertising? So when you start doing things that are against the culture, they're going to say, we're going to cut you off.
They'll do that anyway.
Yeah, they do that anyway. So... especially your ads.
But take advantage of it while you can, right?
Sure. So are you talking about the like what we're talking about, these type of ads?
Yeah.
What are you planning on advertising that's going against the culture?
Like everything. Literally.
The gospel. So when we're talking about advertising, we're talking about getting Bible studies. I would not recommend that your offer be, let me tell you about homosexuality specifically to draw them in. Because you're going to draw in a very specific group of people that you don't want to have for Bible studies. So, for instance, there was a church, we haven't worked with them, I think next year, but a church in San Antonio that they put out an ad. They boosted a post, really, is what I mean by that. They boosted a post that was an article that said, are you happy with the new norm in October of 2020? That was not a fun conversation that he had in the comments. And they got wackos. And it was because the message that they were giving was receiving a very particular group of people. And so I'm not really advertising on homosexuality or things that are going to be triggering, that I know there's going to be a ruckus that's made by this in particular. I'm wanting to make that cost to them as little as possible. And so if they think that the cost is, I have to immediately right now change my thinking concerning this, then we're making the cost too high. We want to lower the cost to them. If that makes sense, how I'm kind of illustrating that. Do want to talk about follow-up. On follow-up, if they message you locally, message them like crazy. If they are local to you and they message you, keep messaging them. So on the prayer ad, for instance, ask them how they're doing a week after their surgery that they had so that you can ask them, hey, how's the recovery process going? Reply to them a little bit more than just the initial follow-up that you did with them. Then guide the conversation toward their spiritual health. If they give you their contact information, use it. I like what, who was it? Max Dawson. Max Dawson would say back in the early 2000s even, so I use it for today as well, but he would say in the early 2000s, he would say, if you come to the church and you give me your mailing address, I take that as a personal invitation to knock on your door and come say hi and thank you for coming and visiting us. If they give you their contact information, they are trusting you with their contact information, which means they are telling you, use this. So, if they give you their email, if they give you your phone number, use it, and use it frequently. And this is where the churches that I see doing the best in advertising are the ones that do this like the persistent widow, that they just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until they ask you to stop. Those are the churches that do the best on this. So this requires sometimes you to, well, it always requires that you set up notifications. So if you're running ads through Meta, that's Facebook and Instagram, if you're running ads through them, you're going to download the Meta Business Suite app, and anytime that a lead comes in, you're getting notified immediately. Or when this is privyr.com. That's P-R-I-V-Y-R. Privyr is a free app that allows you to receive notifications immediately whenever they say, here is my contact information. And whenever you get that information, you can send out a text immediately to them. Speed is absolutely vital in the marketing game. Generally speaking, in the marketing world, it says that if you do not reach out to them within the first 15 minutes, you will never hear back from them ever. First 15 minutes that you have to reach out to them, because they've forgotten about you after that point. They've forgotten about you, and they've probably looked at another business after that point anyway that's not you, and now they've reached out to them, and you've missed them. So we need to think of this in terms of that when they give you their contact information, we often talk about jokingly beating the Baptist to the buffet after Sunday worship. We're kind of doing the same thing. Is they are actually looking at other churches besides you. And so if they're doing that, you need to be the first to reach out to them so that you can make that contact with them and keep the contact fresh. Text messages have a 98% open rate. Again, text messages have a 98% open rate, which means that it is the best way to reach out to people as far as if you want to know, did they read this? 98% open rate on text messages. So use text. I recommend texting, perhaps even with a video. Sometimes what I will do if we have a visitor that comes in. When you have visitors come in, that number is broadened a little bit to about that you really need to reach out to them within 24 hours of them coming into your church building. And if you reach out after that point, they probably will not come back. Now that's on a business level even, that businesses that have people walk into their door, if they do not reach back out to them in 24 hours, they probably will not come back. And I think that it could translate to churches as well. Now, generally speaking, churches don't even reach back out to people when they have visited. So 24 hours is, you know, a grand thing in some people. And so use text messages. What I will sometimes do if we have a visitor is I will take my phone and I will record myself saying, Stephen, I'm really glad that you came this last Sunday. It was a pleasure to get to know you. Get to know your wife a little bit as well, and we look forward to maybe even seeing you this next week. Just let me know. And you're welcome to sit by us next week. And I send that over to them in a text message. So now they actually have a personal touch of, Colton not only reached out to me, he actually reached out to me with a video. That took some time. That's not just a bot that did that. And he mentioned me by name. I will sometimes do that. Emailing, of course, or calling once a day for at least a week. I'm being serious about that. Call them once a day for at least a week. And you may think, they're going to get annoyed. Well, if they do, they'll tell you. And if they're not annoyed, now when they think of, hey, that church kept on reaching out to me. Because most churches are not going to reach out to them except once, maybe a week later. And so you kept on it. And so now they're thinking, hopefully, what you're hoping, and I'll get right to you, what you're hoping for is you're hoping for that person that doesn't think this church is annoying. You're hoping for that one person that says, this church cares about me. So leave voicemails even, as well.
So for us, it's pretty easy for us to have a visitor that I don't even get to meet for various reasons. And not usually because nobody met them. They're usually sworn. And
sure. That's a good thing. I would still send the video because one of the key factors as to why someone will come back to a church is if they met the pastor. So if they didn't have any connection with the preacher, and that's just the culture that people think when they walk into a church, if they have no affiliation with the Lord's church. I don't know that they would think that he is the youth pastor. But I'm serious about this. After you've reached out to them at least once a day in some way in that first week, then you can start to spread it out that maybe every couple of days or so, and then maybe twice a week, and then every now and again for events or new group studies that are taking place. But I recommend never stopping until they ask you to stop. And
one more thing, is this a typical form of communication, sending videos?
No, it's kind of going it's going a little above and beyond, but people actually appreciate that with churches in particular. Yeah, do an audio file. That is the key thing with the prayer request ad that we do. That is the key thing that people always say, thank you, because I sent you a video or an audio. I sent you an audio of me praying for you. And people are always so appreciative. They say, thank you for doing that. That meant a lot. And so I know Becca is listening from Eastside because she's been involved with the prayer ad that we do over there. And so that's one thing that can really step you up a little bit more is to actually send an audio recording of the prayer. And so I think it would work as well with visitors also. But again, we're talking about advertising today. So.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
I know you don't have time. But we have multiple people contacting visitors every week. Would you still say you contact them every day if they have multiple people contacting them over a course of days?
So you mean you as in like the preacher? Yes. Yes. Again, that is a key factor as to why someone will come back if they visited. So if they haven't reached back out in the first 4 to 6 weeks, they likely won't. But if you continue to pop up to the top of their inbox every now and again at least, it helps to commit your brand to their memory because of the persistence and consistency. And so you never know. Maybe it's a lead that runs cold, but 6 months from now, because you fed into their inbox so frequently, when they finally are ready to walk into someone's door, you know what? I want to try that Springfield Christians group. He seemed to care. Just to talk about follow-up for just a moment, just to think about, especially if we are doing a prayer request ad, if you don't follow up, you're actually letting them down. So they have asked you, reach out to me. There's a particular situation down in the Birmingham area that there was a congregation that we were working with. And there was a man that reached out to them in November and he said, my marriage is falling apart and I don't know what to do. That needed more than a prayer request. But what wound up happening is they accidentally missed the message. And then in February, he reached back out and said, my marriage is now divorced. I'm now divorced. I've considered suicide with everything that's been going on. And where were you? Now, you and I both know it was an accident, and the guy did not need to blame the church for his broken up marriage. We get that. But I never, never want to be any part of the reason as to why someone had their marriage fall apart. Because I didn't help them. It always brings back to my mind the song of You Never Mentioned Him to Me. And if you have people that are actually telling you, help me, and you do nothing, you're failing them. And so I believe follow-up is actually, in a way, a moral issue that we're talking about here. But reach out until they ask you to stop. And they will. They'll let you know if they're done. But reach out until they ask you to stop. Any other questions on any of that? Carrie, anything to add? Carrie works with me in this. And some people, they feel weird about me saying this. She is my co-evangelist on this. So she works right along with me. And so everything that I know about this, she knows as well. And so ladies, you're welcome to ask her. And she would be more than happy to help on this as well. And she probably knows more than me on some certain areas also. So.
When you're, contracted by the Springfield Christians group to create these ads, is Ken giving you, I want this ad to be a prayer request ad, or I want this to be a lead gen ad, and I want it to say, are you saved, and here are the questions, or are you creating that content on his behalf?
I'm mostly creating it, but Dad and I are talking all the time about different ideas that we could try. Then I will create the ad based on our conversations. So
I put a video together of the denomination, the entertainment, all that, and I sent it to him. He said, "Well, Dad, we have to go back and make another video." So if that answers your question.
Okay, so you're still creating some content, sending it to him so that he can.
Any other, now, just as a side note, our business model may be shifting a little bit, that we may be moving away from just ads and moving into a more holistic approach of doing social media for churches. And that will include ads as well. But if you're going to do advertising, these are the suggestions that I would give. So. Anything else? Okay. I have just some time as well for just common questions. Would you guys rather take a 5-minute break right now or just stand up and let's just finish Q&A? Okay, why don't you guys just stand up for a second? If you need to use the restroom, feel free to, and we'll deal with this.